So Heather, you can go to the podium. And just to kind of get warmed up before you actually talk about your topic, I wanted to get your opinion about a thought that was verbalized to me at the winter lung meeting we had in Miami earlier this year at the end of January. And Corey, I asked our fellow colleague who's participated in a lot of our programs here, Tom Lynch, the question. And the question was, who do you think should be tested, real simple question, for EGFR mutations in ALK? And are we moving towards a situation more like breast cancer, which every time you get a piece of tissue with breast cancer, you send it for ER and HER2? And Tom made the interesting statement that he thinks that it ought to be exactly the same for non-small cell lung cancer. Squamous, adeno, smokers, non-smokers, every piece of tissue, adjuvant, you know, surgical resection, everything should be tested. I figured most people here would disagree with that. We asked the audience, and actually two-thirds of the people agreed. Do you agree, Corey?
Not yet.
I didn't think so.
So we'll test all adenocarcinoma patients regardless of cigarette history, and we'll test all never smokers regardless of histology. But we have to use some practical approaches. If you have a patient who's 100-pack your smoking history, male with squamous cell carcinoma, the likelihood of having, at least in 2013, a readily actionable mutation is exceedingly low. In a perfect world, ultimately, I agree with Tom. As time goes on, I think we will be testing everybody. But in the absence of a clear-cut clinical trial, I'm not sure I would.
Now, is your thinking behind this, you know, sort of cost issue? You don't want to waste the resources or what?
Cost and just patient care. These folks are often quite ill. They don't have time to wait necessarily for the molecular results.
I guess whether you wait is another question. Ross, what are your thoughts about this?
So Corey and I have talked about this before, and Corey, correct me if I'm wrong, but you do test for ROS1 rearrangements in adenocarcinoma, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And what's the frequency of ROS1 rearrangements?
1.6%.
And what's
so
the frequency of an EGFR mutation in a squamous cancer?
About the same.
So, yeah, I don't mind what people do as long as they're logically consistent.
So I'll say, Heather, how about testing for HER2 mutations?
Again, that's a very rare mutation, but now that we have some evidence, there was just a JCO publication that came out that patients who have that with lung cancer with very specific HER2 insertions, it's not just amplification, but actual mutations, they are showing some responses to afatinib and also to trastuzumab. And I have a patient who we found that mutation. She'd already had several lines of chemotherapy. She was having a very aggressive disease growth, and we decided to start her on vinorelbina and trastuzumab, and she's clinically responding.
So maybe we'll pick up on this a little bit later. I'd say vinorelbina must be a really good drug. Just kidding. Maybe. Who knows? I mean, kind of makes sense. But let's move on, and we'll maybe get back to some of these things in terms of what happened at ASCO. And also, I think the testing issue is going to come up on a lot of these cases. And in fact, you all know when you talk to these docs, that was maybe the number one issue is who do you test?